Hallelujah. I don't know if it's because I'm knackered. I'm pretty emotional. That wrecked me. Do you know what? I think we need first things first this morning. Let's just close our eyes a moment. You know, we've heard testimony this morning about Jesus, about the power of Jesus, about Jesus impacting our life, how he changes a young girl's life and stands her on her feet for the rest of her life, how he changes a young man's life, how they both sought in different ways to find different things, but ultimately the answer was in the same thing, which was Jesus. We've heard the awesome thing that Dave read about our draws and our lives, all of it being written down, which is truth. It's what the Bible says. Every word, thought, deed, action we have is all noted and written down. But I just want to read one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already." In a nutshell, that means you can carry your own files, or you can let him carry them for you. I want to give you the opportunity right now to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. I haven't got the time to go into details, but I'll speak to you at the end about it. But if you want to start a relationship with Jesus right now, then I'd like you just to lift your hand in the air. Well done. Is there anybody else that wants to start a relationship with Jesus this morning? God loves you. God absolutely loves you. I could get any Christian on this stage this morning, and all of them would tell you, to a man, how they were going one way, lost, broken, going nowhere, and now in an instant they're changed, they meet God, and their life is different. You're given eternal life. This lady has just responded to that call. She's going to start this life with Jesus, like I did 13 years ago in a prison cell. Like these guys did a few years ago in Estonia. It doesn't matter where you started or how you started. The only thing that matters is that you do. Now you're here for a reason. You've come for Jesus because you need something more than what you've got. Let's not mess about. It's the truth. I'm going to go on my message now. But I'd like us all to close our eyes, and I'm going to ask one last time. Is there anybody else that wants to start a journey with God? Start a relationship with Jesus? You just raise your hand in the air. I'll see it and I'll carry on. Well done. Any more? Okay. Let's give these guys a massive round of applause. I think at the end, Jenny, if you bring this lady forward to speak to Margaret, if that's all right, and if you have a chat with Marion at the end, and then I'll talk with you and pray with you and get you filled with the Holy Spirit and stuff. So, listen, that's what matters, isn't it? Jesus came for the lost, didn't he? We're in the happy clappy club, we're always blessed. We can wait 5 minutes for what's really important. You know, listen, guys, some sad news to start with. And those of you that don't know, there's a couple that come here called Michael and Elisa. Last week, they lost the baby. Their baby died just before she was due to give birth to it. It was born through cesarean section. There's going to be a funeral. They're going to email me with the details of that. But all they've asked me to say to you is if you know them and if you love them, you're welcome to go to that funeral. There's other details going to come from that. They just said in terms of flowers, you know, they'd appreciate if people could give to a charity they're going to recommend rather than everyone send flowers. But if you're on the members' email, you'll get more information about that. But just please keep them in your prayers. They've got a little daughter, Ayla, and you know what? They just need our prayers. God's awesome. And I love him. And I love you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." You know, in this day and age, there's expiry dates on absolutely everything. You pick the butter out your fridge, there's an expiry date on it. You pick some out your cupboard, there's an expiry date on it. Expiry dates on everything. All our food, all our substance, there's expiry dates on the metal things that Andy does in his job. There's expiry dates on cars. I mean, nothing lasts forever. There's expiry dates on our life. We're all going to expire one day. I hope you know that this morning. You are. And if you haven't met Jesus, do it before you do that. But we're going to expire. This world is going to expire. But you know what? As you look around for dates, there's one place you won't find an expiry date. And that's on salt. The reason for that is because salt doesn't expire. Salt is just always salt. You know, Jesus said that salt is good. So I thought I'd have a little look about what makes salt good. And you're shocked if you do it when you get home by what you find. There's absolutely hundreds of web pages about salt. There's loads. There's thousands of things that salt is good for. People have actually set up websites to glorify how good salt actually is. Honestly, there's thousands and thousands of uses for it. It's amazing. It's an amazing substance. Jesus often said the most simple things, but they were the most profound things. That's why you can take one sentence and get a 40-minute message out of it. Because it's just packed with stuff. Do you know, salt has some stuff. And all I want to do quickly is talk about some of the things salt actually does. One of the things salt does is it enhances things. It brings the best out of other things. It basically makes sweets sweeter. You know, when I read that, I asked myself a question. Do I bring out the best in people whose company I'm in? Do I enhance the flavour of people's lives? Do I make a difference to people where I am? Another thing salt does. 1 minute, I've got a lot written down here. That's it. It makes a difference and it changes things for the better. You know, salt takes bitter things like chocolate and broccoli and it makes them sweet. It changes them. So there's that question. You know, we all in our lives can have bitterness brought in by so many different things. Not just in my life, but in others. There's lots of people full of bitterness. So do I, by my presence, when I've met somebody, I've been amongst somebody and I've left them, do I actually leave that person a bit sweeter than what they were when I first met them? Do I leave that bitterness that's in their life a little bit more palatable for them, that they can go and live in a little bit more? I remember when I worked in Hartlepool with people that are getting divorced and separated, and I was seeing this woman, she was a lawyer, and I was seeing this woman every week for about 6 weeks, talking to her. She was telling me about how her mum had been killed in a car crash, how this girl that had killed her was texting on her phone at a time. And while she was texting, she veered across the road and killed her mum. They went to court, the girl got off, no charge, no crime. She walked out free. She said in one sense she wasn't bothered so much about that, but what she was bothered about is this girl never apologised to her at all. She never once said sorry. She was absolutely et up by it. And I remember the last day I was going to see her and I was talking to her. You know, this woman's a lawyer. I could have lost my job, you know. But then I started telling her about me and about Jesus. And I said to her one day, "Look, you're so full of anger. You're so full of bitterness that your kid's going to pick that up. It's going to start impacting your child. And this one act of this one woman is going to start just destroying all of your life. I want to tell you, I've been through some stuff in my life, and I told her some of them things. I said, look, the point came where I had to forgive. You know, Jesus said to forgive. Forgiveness is such a powerful tool. Forgiveness is more about releasing somebody else so they can't poison your life anymore than it is about letting them go scot-free for what they should be charged for. You know, that day I remember saying to me, look, I was going to say to you this day, you've seen me for 6 weeks and done nothing at all for me. You've been a waste of time. I wasn't good at my job. You know, she said, no, I was. I was just God-focused first. And she said to me, but do you know what the truth is? You've taught me the most important lesson I've ever, ever learned in my life. You know, her bitterness was a little bit more palatable after that day. Another thing salt does is it heals. Salt heals lots of different things. You can put it on big wounds. You can put it on other things, toothache, ulcers, lots of different stuff. So do I, knowing that salt does so much good for people's health, illnesses and stuff like that. Do I see people healed in my daily life, physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually? Do I see that as I go around, just like Jesus did? Do I see that? Now, I was talking to Same last week. Same was telling me he'd been through a massive battle, actually. He woke up one morning, he'd been a bit beaten up spiritually. Instead of taking it, he got back on his feet and he went out that day to witness to people on the streets. The first guy he met was a guy who fell off a scaffold. He broke his ankle, hadn't he, in his knee. He was all messed up on his legs. Same prayed for him, he got instantly healed. He ended up accepting Jesus, weeping and crying. Accepting the Lord. You know, that's what salt does. Salt heals. Heals many things. You know, do I? Do I do that? Do I do what Jesus did? You know, salt kills germs. It kills parasites. It kills things like slugs. Salt cleans stains off things like cups that are hard-grained. If you put salt in water and spray it on your windscreen on a night, it stops it frosting the next day. So do I, as a Christian in people's lives, do I help people to see the parasites, the spiritual parasites that are hanging about their life and help them to be delivered from them? Do I help them to reveal the stains of things that are hidden in their life so they can be cleaned and washed off? Do I help people who I'm amongst, my brothers and sisters, to keep their vision clear so they can see God and see the road ahead? Do I make a difference? Do I make a difference to the people I'm around, just like salt does? You know, salt preserves relationships. Do we preserve our relationships with the people, the places and the situations God's put us in? Do we preserve our relationship with God? Or do we often find things just decaying and eroding around us and falling away? You know, before I was a Christian, before I became a Christian, the longest relationship I'd ever had was with a girl, for instance, was like a year and a half, and that was broken, broken, broken. My relationship with my mum, some of you know, I mean, I lived till about six. She went in hospital because of a heroin addiction, so I was separated from her then for 6 months. She then came back home. I lived with her for 2 or 3 years. She went to jail for 5 years, so I was broke from her then. Then she came home. And then when I was about 15, she left that house, went somewhere else. So the longest relationship I'd ever had was a couple of years. Then I met Jesus. And 13 years ago now, in Omaha's prison, I started my relationship, just like these two have this morning, with God. It's the longest relationship I've ever had. I've also been married now for 11 years. It's the second most longest relationship I've ever had. I've got a kid who's 9. It's the third longest relationship I've ever had. You know, salt preserves things. It preserves life. And we should be preserving things too. Another thing is this. Do I make people thirsty? Do people thirst when they're around me? I remember meeting a woman. She was a Jamaican woman. She was about 67 years old. I was absolutely dead in my sin at that point. And I sat down and spoke to her one day. And as I talked to her, I sat down listening to her. She's speaking to me. I'm not even sure what she said. But I tell you, something happened to me. And as I looked into this woman's eyes, it was like I got transported into the middle of her body. And like she was doing forward flips. It was then like it came out and just smacked me in the face. And I sat there. I mean, this was a split second. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? I need what this woman has got. I need it. That started my journey to Jesus Christ. Do you know what? Do I create that in other people? Do I have that about me where people are around me and they say, I need what he's got? I mean, salt makes you thirsty, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? Yeah. That's why the bars put peanuts on the side, you know, to make you drink more. But do I make people thirst for my Jesus? Am I that salty or not? You know, Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. And that means we're called to make a difference. I've just told you what salt does. All the positives. And that's only 5 or 6 of them. There's over 1,400 of them. You know, salt is essential to every living thing on this planet. Everything on this planet needs salt to survive and to live. And the truth is, as Christians, we're as essential as that salt is. We're needed in this world. You know, Jesus isn't here right now, is he? I mean, if anyone can see him, stood next to me. You can't, can you? Because he's not here. Because Jesus died on a cross. He was buried in a grave. He rose again. And he went high, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he sent the promised Holy Spirit to be in believers. I mean, Jesus is here. But he's here through my hands. He's here through my eyes, my feet, my words. Jesus is here in spirit through our bodies. So you know what? Christians are massively important and massively essential for the survival of this world. You know, God has sprinkled Christians all over this world. He's sprinkled spiritual salt over every single nation. And this salt can have an effect on absolutely everything it touches. Everything. You know, salt is salt naturally. And here's what this means for us. It means by nature, Christians should be salty. By our very nature. Because Jesus was salty. Salt never expires. It always carries the potential to make a difference in people's lives. Unless, as Jesus said, it loses that saltiness. And then it's good for nothing. So do you know what? How can we lose our saltiness? How does salt lose its saltiness? Well, there's 2 ways. One is through dilution. The other one is through pollution. You know, our testimony and our life can be diluted. It can be diluted by the things we're not doing and different things, which just affects our saltiness and affects what we can do. It just waters us down. Instead of being living epistles and witnesses for Jesus Christ, we end up just living like everybody else. We kind of bury this salt deep down inside and we never ever get it out to sprinkle it on anybody. We just treasure it all in here. You know, we can have that much mess in our life. That just pollutes us. It just pollutes us, makes us unclean, so that we're no good, really, to sprinkle on anything. It's just a waste. And that's why Jesus said, you know, it just becomes useless. It just affects our impact and what we can do. You know, they both mean we can't naturally do what we're supposed to do, which is make a difference, like I said. You know, wherever Jesus went, Jesus made a difference. And people down through generations who've had Jesus in them have made a difference too. We're here today because of people who translated the Bible. We're here today because of the likes of Wesley's and all these different movements of the Holy Spirit. All the different things that have gone on because of people who were used of God, who were salty, were here because of that. You know what? Jesus said he made his home in us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit, the power to do what he did, to see what he saw. And so if Jesus made a difference where he was, and if the people of God in history have made a difference where they were in their generation, and I'm not seeing a difference where I am, and I'm not being salt where I am, and I'm not seeing salty effects where I am, then do you know what the truth is? I've got to ask a very sobering question. And it's this. Is Jesus really in me? Is the Holy Spirit actually in me? Or have I become diluted or polluted in my message? We can become diluted in lots of ways. But you know what usually is through neglect. We can neglect the Holy Spirit. I just want to read out a couple of things, what the Holy Spirit does, is his characteristics. The Holy Spirit created the world. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's fully God. He's a spirit of truth. He's the eternal spirit. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He has a will. He loves. Jesus was conceived by him. He was baptized in him, anointed by him, filled with him, raised by him. The Holy Spirit baptizes us, convicts us of sin. He anoints us for service. He calls and commissions us. The Holy Spirit allows us to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, like he's just done this morning twice. He empowers us. He guides us. He gives us strength in our weakness. He fills our life with gifts and fruit. He inspires prayer. The Holy Spirit helps interpret scripture. He glorifies Jesus Christ. He heals us. He liberates us. He regenerates us. He strengthens us. He teaches us. He molds us. He seals us in Christ. He gives us victory over the flesh and helps us to worship. We neglect him when we sin against him, when we blaspheme him, resist him, try to deceive him, grieve him, and quench his fire in our lives through fear and our own choices. And when we do things that he can't be a part of, the movies are watched. Could the Holy Spirit watch them too? As I'm looking through my eyes now, and man, the Holy Spirit's in me, can he watch what I'm watching? Can he touch what I'm touching? You know, I said this the other week when I preached at Route 61, but if I'm walking with my feet in an adulterous relationship, can the Holy Spirit walk in that relationship with me? Or does he have to turn around and look away? If he has to do that in anything I do, I've grieved him. That then affects my saltiness. You know, if the Holy Spirit does so much for us, it stands to reason, doesn't it? That if we're not like that with him, that's going to affect our saltiness. A lot. Does anyone need more salt this morning? Yeah? You do well to seek the Holy Spirit. We come to Jesus Christ like these have this morning. That's the first part of call. The second part is being filled by the Holy Spirit, which we'll do at the end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another way we dilute is through neglecting prayer. Smith Wigglesworth was a powerful man of God. God used him to see massive healings. But before that, he used to be like our sister. He'd pray for hours and hours and hours for being filled and used by God until he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then someone asked him, "How long do you pray, Smith? You must pray a lot. You're so powerful." And Smith Wigglesworth said, "I used to pray a lot." He said, "But now I couldn't pray for half an hour if I tried." He said, "But I never go half an hour without actually praying." You know, our words in what we pray aren't always important to God. You can use big words and loads of words, or hardly any. The truth is, it's our hearts that count. When we were in Spain, Bob Keir said there's 14 ways to pray. He was listing them off. And he said he'd done a preach on it. I can't quote him, but one of them I remembered was, he said, you know, one of them was just breath. How someone in the Bible just was like, "I know that breath. Does anyone else?" It's a good prayer, isn't it? But you know what? We're supposed to be people of prayer. We're supposed to walk in fellowship with God throughout the day. And you know what? Sometimes that means you stood in the middle of Morrison's and you've got a big bill going out your bank and you've got no money. And you know what you do? You just do this. And now guess what? The bill gets paid. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to be people of prayer, walking in fellowship with God, which keeps us salty. Also, neglecting faith can affect our saltiness. You know, a little bit of salt makes a big difference. When we step out in faith, whether it's for ourselves, our needs, or whether it's for somebody else and their needs, We're stepping out on God. That's what we're stepping out on. Jesus, come out of the boat, Peter. So Peter came out of the boat and he stepped on the word of God. We're stepping on God. Our faith isn't in us. It's not in our power to heal. It's not in our holiness. It's not in none of that. It's in God. So do you know what? We have faith in God's name. We have faith in God's goodness. We have faith in God's love, God's mercy, God's power. We have faith in all of that. And when we exercise faith, that's what we do. We just step on him for a moment. We trust him. We give it to him. And that's how you exercise faith. You just exercise it any way you can, whenever you can. I did this the other week, so I'm not going to go into it a lot. But, yeah. So you know what? We're saved by faith. We all have it. So we'll just use it and start using it, which makes us more salty. Fear can dilute us. Fear to give testimony. Fear to talk about God. There's always like the feel of, should I witness and bring people to Jesus Christ? You know what? You don't have to do that all the time. Sometimes we set ourselves up to do the big thing. I'm going to go out and win this person to Jesus right now. You miss it completely. People in all different situations, you know. All you need to do is just do a little bit of salt. Sometimes I used to walk in work and say, praise God, I needed a phone and God's blessed me with a phone. It's enough, isn't it? I used to do it all the time. We need to deal with a tax. Praise God, he's blessed us. Someone's done this. And then one day I went back in a job where I'd left. And the girl said, there was another girl in the room with this girl. And she said, oh, I've got a new phone. She said, oh, sit down, tell us, how did you got it? How did God give it you? Because they were used to it that much. They'd start witnessing for you. So you know what? It's the truth. So you know what? You do whatever you can. You witness to God's goodness and his love and his mercy and his awesomeness and his power. You know, these people got healed on Sunday night. This woman walked in with 15 broken bones and a foot and she was healed. There was a woman there, bang, sciatica, she's healed. When you speak, things begin to happen. So you know what? Your testimony and all of that is if you're scared about big things, just do what you've got the measure of faith to do. It might not be a big deal, but you can say, I'm going to church on Sunday. Oh, thank God for Friday. Why is that? Because Sunday's coming. You know, you start doing little bits. Little bits. We can all do little bits. We can. Thank you, Lord. And lastly, be doers of the word. Read the word. Listen to the word. Apply the word. And then do what it says. Do you know, if we don't neglect these little things, we'll be full of salt and salty, and we will make a difference because God can use us. And to finish, guys, pollution. You know, pollution just ruins us. It makes us unusable to God. You know, he says, doesn't he? I can't remember the exact thing, but you know, he's got a choice of cups. You know, oh no, it's Reinhard Bonnke. He says this, sorry. He says, you know, if someone comes to my house for a cup of tea and I've got the choice between two cups, a nice clean one and a dirty one, which one am I going to use to serve them a glass of water? Clean, exactly. So you know what? Pollution just makes us unusable. It stands to reason, doesn't it? You know, we become polluted through holiness and sanctification or lack of it. And so how do we keep ourselves holy? How do we keep ourselves sanctified? Which basically just means acceptable to God and set apart for God, all right? So God can use us. Yeah, that's what it means. Well, we do it through the word of God. We read the word of God. James says it's like a mirror. You read it. As you're reading it, oh, that's me. I talk too much. Those of you who know me know how true that is. I need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Do you know, the other day when I was listening to our Rebecca, I shouted at her. For going on in my ear. That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. So the word of God convicts me of my sin. And then I have the blood of Jesus to wash me clean. Which keeps me holy. Read the word. Be washed through the blood. Keeps you holy and sanctified. The chastisement of God keeps us holy and sanctified. Where God pulls us up by the britches. Or gives you a wedgie or whatever. For you younger ones. But it's where you just, he stops you and you say, okay, I realise I'm going the wrong way. And you take a telling off. And God does tell you off. He loves you. You're his kid. He doesn't just want you running around. So when you're doing something wrong, he'll tell you off. Chastisement keeps us holy and sanctified. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to God. Which means surrendering our will. And saying, okay, God, your will be done. Keeps us sanctified and holy. And ourselves, by what we do, we can keep ourselves holy and sanctified. Often, you know what? By coming to Jesus every day. And saying, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please use my life today. Often when you do that, it's a process then of repenting, forgiveness, and surrender, and all those different things. Daily take up your cross. Daily walk with me. Daily, daily, daily. Every day. The victories of yesterday aren't the victories of today. The defeats of yesterday aren't the defeats of today. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Every day is brand new. The mercies of God are new every single morning. So every day we recommit. We come back. We want to go again. So every day, by ourselves, we make ourselves holy. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. But here's the truth about holiness and sanctification. It's already done. Our holiness and our sanctification isn't something for us to accomplish. It's something to us to acknowledge and receive and accept. It's a free gift. We're sanctified and made holy through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we're salty all the time. Through him. Through him, we're acceptable to God. Through him, we're separated to God. So God can use us for others through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we're constantly salty. And do you know what the truth is? It's this. Only one person can ruin that saltiness. Only one person can affect that, and it's me. And it's you. And it's us. Through sin and disobedience, we pollute that purity. You know, one sin or 100. One act of disobedience or 100. One turning away from God or 100. It doesn't matter. One bit just pollutes it all. And we're ruined. Our effectiveness is ruined. And in that moment, we become good for nothing. Sin and disobedience stops us doing what we're naturally supposed to do, which is make a difference. So let me ask you a question. Who wants to see people saved in this church? Raise your hands. Okay. Who wants to see people healed in this church? Who wants to see people saved in Tesco's? Who wants to see people healed in Tesco's? It's the same God, isn't he? He's not just the God of amazing grace on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. He's the God of this nation. The same power is in Tesco's as it is in here. So who wants to see all that? I do too. But when I tell you the truth, I've been doing this journey for over a year now. It comes at a cost. It does. It costs us to see God move. It costs us to be salty. And the cost is to daily receive Jesus, like I've already said. That's the cost. To surrender your life daily is the cost. You know, as Christians, we are the salt of the earth. And salt has the potential to do so much good for people. But it's often stopped by so little. You know, I don't smoke anymore, but I used to. And I'm going to finish with this. And I was starting to preach a little bit. I was traveling with Martin a bit and Stu, and we were doing some stuff. Doing some meetings, seeing some healing, seeing some power stuff and all that things I loved. But when I went preaching on my own, I remember getting to the point where I'd stand on Luke 4 verse 18. You know that verse? God's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favour. But you know what? I came to a point where smoking was like the big thing in my life. And all of a sudden, one day, I stood to speak that message. And as I started praying it out, God can heal you. Good news. Bang, I got to this bit. about prisoners. And as I did, the devil said to me, you can't speak about people being free. You smoke. You can't stand on that word. You're a smoker. And all of a sudden, it was ruined. The whole kind of saltiness of my message was gone. It pulled the rug from under my feet. And for months and months and months, I could never, ever stand on that word. That word is over my life, by the way. So it's important that I could stand on it. I just couldn't. But then you know what? I met God as my dad. Had a different encounter with God and realized that actually, I was already sanctified. I was already made holy. He loved me. I was acceptable to Him every morning. Do you know what? It didn't matter what I did. It was about Him. It's not about me. It's not about my performance. It tells in 1 John, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleans us from all unrighteousness. That means this. If I'm doing the best I can to walk with God, my heart's to Him, my head's to Him, and I'm walking, just being a Christian, which is enough. We often think, don't we? Oh, we'll get to heaven and Jesus will say, oh, you didn't do so well there, mate. That was terrible, that. You messed up. I fought that for years. But you know what then I realise is God's going to say to me and Jesus is going to say to me, well done, son. What for? For staying. Well done for getting up every day and walking with me. Well done for trying. Well done for having a go. Did you win everything? Nah. But it doesn't matter. What matters to me is that you were willing to try and you tried. So well done, son. So here's the truth. Let's stand to our feet. We are all salt. We can all make a difference. Whether that means picking something up for an old woman who's dropped a ticket in Tesco's and saving her hurt in her back and bending over and giving her a little bit of love by doing a little bit of a loving act, or whether it means going on the streets and meeting somebody who's broken a leg and an ankle and praying for them and then instantly healed, or whether it means going to a nation or a stadium and preaching and seeing hundreds saved, we can all do all of it. We're all salt. We're all called to be salt. What I want to do this morning is just a simple thing, and it's this. I just want to remove the enemy out of your life. All of your doubts, all of your worries, all of your issues and fears and all of it, just get him out. Do you know what? He just affects us. He's just a mouse with a microphone. You're a sinner. Yet I know I am. But I'm also clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know what? You're a waste of space, yet I know I am. But I'm acceptable to Him. See, you're unclean. I know what's in your drawers, mate. I know what's in all them little files. I know what's in your lust file and your other file. Yeah, but do you know what? Jesus has written His name all over it in His blood. That's not me anymore. Do you know what? You're nobody. You're never ever going to amount to anything. Oh no. You're a liar. And I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Guys, let me ask you. Are you willing to be salt? Are you willing to make a difference? Are you willing to allow Jesus to use you? And that means Jesus, use me. And He will. Thank you, Lord.